Nighttime, lights shine in house with a yard. Muse Distribution International presents. A car stands parked on the street and a bearded man clicks photos of a young man hugging a short woman outside the house. A redhead chats with them, a tall man stands beside her and stares ahead. A dark-haired man and the short woman leave, the young man hugs the redhead. Then fist bumps the tall man, the latter looks straight at the camera as he walks away. He heads indoors. The bearded man lowers the camera. He peers through the viewfinder and spots a hooded figure crouched behind a tree. The figure hurries away.
There you are. I got you.
Now in the kitchen, the young man receives texts on his phone that read, "Why are you ignoring me? We need to talk about this. You don't treat me this way." The young man looks in the direction of the sound and heads over. He enters a room and glances around. Next, a light gets turned on in a dark room. Now the young man briefly looks through a window. Later, he steps into a workshop.
Hello? Who's there?
An unseen person.
You. Almost scared me to death.
The title appears in pink against a black and white image of a two-story house. Nellie Knows Mysteries, A Fatal Engagement. Daytime, a blonde walks out of the two-story house with a wide grin on her face.
Good morning!
A paperboy waves back blandly. She catches the rolled-up newspaper that comes flying at her. She gets behind the wheel of a blue BMW convertible with Oregon license plates. The roof retracts and the car leaves the driveway. Later, a sign outside a building reads Helen's Family Diner. A plump woman spots the blonde entering.
Billy! Helen! This place looks amazing! Congratulations!
Thank you! You want a coffee? On the house.
Yes, please. To go.
To go, you got it. To go.
Nellie the blonde meets the dark-haired man's gaze. Her smile fades and she quickly turns Awa.
Is that Peter? I can't look.
Affirmative. Peter Henderson Wong. Incoming.
Okay, bye, Helen.
Okay, we're open daily, 8 to 8.
Yep.
She leaves. Peter's questioning look receives a sheepish smile from Helen. Now, a sign reads the Babbleton Life magazine. Nellie enters the Flatiron building. Next, a thin woman sprays liquid on a vase of flowers.
Morning, Nellie.
Ooh, sunflower test, who's winning?
Well, Sunny Delight is tallest, but Suntastic has better seeds.
Ooh.
Looks like this foliage spray really does the job. I'll have 1,500 words by end of day, no problem. I heard Helen open the diner.
Mm.
Yes.
What you cooking? Soufflés, three-part series, France at home.
Better get cracking.
Oh.
The thin woman takes a food container.
Help yourself to middling profiteroles.
Oh.
Tastes like mediocrity.
Never stop me.
Yum.
Marty brought the mail?
He sure did.
Oh.
The thin woman picks up a box and the mail from a desk.
This is for you.
Oh, thank you.
So, I saw what you wrote in your column to Grace, you know.
Kittenless and longing in Babbleton, Fiona.
Right. You told Grace, be patient, good things will come.
I said that?
So yesterday, I see Peter at the park and he tells me Grace found a kitten right after you wrote that. Under the shrubbery in their own garden.
Amazing. I really hope he let her keep it.
How could he not? Does he have a choice? The whole town was rooting for Grace.
Kittenless and longing in Babbleton, Fiona.
So, funny thing, that kitten looks an awful lot like those tabbies up for adoption near your place.
Nellie turns away.
You said one would be perfect for Grace. Ah, poor Peter.
I've rather been avoiding him.
So long as everyone ends up happy, right? Well, almost everyone.
Nellie regards an envelope.
I just got a handwritten letter, no return address.
Snail mail advice. Don't they use the anonymous web form?
Yeah, they do.
She opens the envelope and takes out a letter. She unfolds it and reads its contents.
This woman is worried that her boyfriend might be cheating on her. He was the bee's knees, now secretive. She suspects canoodling in the shadows with another woman.
How awful and mysterious. Who's it from?
It's signed Worried in Babbleton. I wonder why it's handwritten.
Maybe an off-grid? No internet?
I think I know this handwriting.
She lowers the letter pensively.
Oh!
She opens a drawer and rummages through it, then tries another and finds a Christmas card. She looks at the handwritten words in it.
She has been dotting her I's with hearts ever since elementary school.
Dahlia Chatters.
Which means
Blake Jarvis.
No, Blake! What are you thinking, worrying our poor Dahlia?
They turn toward their desks. Nellie stands and grabs her belongings.
Nellie, where are you going?
You know, advice for an advice column usually happens at a desk. Type, 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 type.
Later, Nellie pulls up outside the house with the yard. A sign outside the workshop reads Blake Jarvis Fine Furniture.
I need to talk to you.
She pauses as she finds the workshop door left ajar. She opens it and looks inside.
Blake?
She steps in and scans her surroundings. She walks along a workbench. She spots Blake, the young man, lying still on the floor.
Oh, no. Blake? No.
She crouches beside him and takes his hand. She rests her hand on his neck to feel the pulse. She turns and sees a broom leaning against a cabinet, then glances around. She looks at the door leading to the house and stands up.
Is anybody there?
She reaches into her sling bag and takes out her phone. She eyes her surroundings as she dials.
Police, please. Yes, I need some help. Blake Jarvis's house.
She kneels beside Blake with the phone to her ear and checks his shirt pockets. His head lies in a dried pool of blood. She takes out a thick wad of banknotes from his pocket and gazes at it. She looks in the direction of the sound and stands up slowly.
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yeah, please send someone. There's been a murder.
Next, a sheriff's deputy fences off the workshop with police tape. Nellie stands with the dark-haired sheriffs.
It wasn't a robbery. Nothing seems stolen. He still had his phone and his watch.
Bless his soul, he took a terrible tumble.
Bergie, this wasn't an accident. He was clearly pushed.
Oh, Detective Mickey.
Hey.
You met Nellie Parker? Nellie's got a knack for advice. She's the one found Blake.
I could just get a...
You're not much of anyone in Babbleton until you know Nellie, Mick. He's so new here.
Nice to meet you, Miss Parker. Detective Michael Holgan.
Nellie. I've just been reassuring our Nellie here that the medical reports will come back and tell us poor Blake took a header.
Did Doc Balliol examine the body yet?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to discuss that.
Oh,
Nellie, Mickey's gonna tell us what we need to know to put your mind at ease, okay? Let's hear it, Mick.
Thank you.
With all due respect, Sheriff, we should probably discuss this in private, don't you think?
Oh.
She and Borgie, the sheriff, share a look.
Okay, then. Well, Dr. Balliol still needs to conduct the full autopsy and run the tox screens, but the preliminary comments put the time of death somewhere between 10 p.m. and midnight last night, and there is an indication that the victim was pushed from the top of the stairs with significant force.
Oh, my. I knew it! Did you notice the sawdust? It had been swept away?
As though someone were trying to erase a trail of footprints. Yeah, we caught that.
And the light was off. I don't imagine Blake went upstairs in the dark. Certainly couldn't have flipped the switch after he died, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Well, we're going to dust everything for prints.
Good.
Okay, Sheriff, how do you see this investigation proceeding?
Oh.
You got a handle on it, Mick. Why not make it a trial run?
Yeah?
Congratulations.
Thanks. Okay, I guess what I'll do then is
Wait. I did find this.
Oh, my.
Hey, where did you find that?
$20,000. It was in Blake's right breast pocket.
She hands it to him.
Yeah, I don't.
Wait, man. Huh.
Next, in Blake's kitchen, Michael faces Nellie.
So, you were friends with Blake Jarvis?
Oh, I knew Blake for forever, but we weren't close. What would you call close? Birthday parties? Maybe more than that?
Did you go to Blake's birthday parties?
No.
Did you date him?
What? No. Date him? We weren't close. Dating would be close.
True.
Anyways, he was with Dahlia. I used to babysit Dahlia. I was friends with her brother in second grade. I didn't date him either. Just, you know, for the record.
Right. So why come here this morning to see your acquaintance?
Well, I wanted to talk to Blake face to face.
About what?
Love. Life. Pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an advice columnist. I was doing some research.
What kind of research?
Oh, it covers a wide range of topics. You should read the weekend edition. Well, that concludes my statement for now. It's very tidy in here, don't you think? Was Blake a particularly neat person?
I have no idea.
Huh. If he wasn't, maybe the killer came back and cleaned the place up.
He furrows his brow.
That would tell you something, wouldn't it?
She taps on the counter, then picks up a glass of water and downs it.
Thank you for the water, Michael.
She heads out. He narrows his eyes and looks on. Later, outdoors.
All right, you guys fan out, see what you can find, all right?
Nellie checks her wristwatch.
Hey, Sheriff.
Nellie? Oh, Talia, oh! I don't understand, is this real?
I'm so sorry.
Why would anyone want to hurt Blake? I mean, everyone loved him.
I don't know.
But you can figure this out, Nellie, right? What happened to him?
I...
Please?
Maybe if we put our heads together, we can come up with some clues to help the police.
Clues? Okay, how do we do that?
Why don't we step away? We'll just go this way.
She leads Dahlia, a slim woman, away from Michael's view. She waves at an old man taking to a deputy.
Oh. Why don't we start by remembering the last time you and Blake spoke?
That would be on the phone, I think, yesterday evening after supper.
Okay, do you remember what time that was?
6:45.
Okay, good. This is very useful. And what did the two of you speak about?
I asked him what he had for supper.
All right, and how did he sound? Like, what was his tone of voice? Did he sound like he usually did?
No.
Oh.
He was rushing. Like he wanted to get rid of me. That was the last time we spoke.
Oh, Dahlia. I know this is hard.
She holds Dahlia's hands.
But I know you're worried in Babbleton.
Worried?
That Blake was being unfaithful. But cheating, Dahlia, it sounds so harsh.
Oh, no. It was more of a bad feeling than anything, Nellie. The prickles. Like I knew Blake had a secret.
A secret?
Not a good secret.
Oh.
It was happening more and more where he just didn't want to talk to me, you know? Like he had more important things.
Than you? No way. His furniture business. It kept him really busy, right?
Always. It wasn't that. He was acting sneaky. Wait, I don't have to tell the police, right? I mean, I don't have evidence of Blake cheating.
You do have to tell them. I wanted to talk to you first, but Dahlia, I'm going to have to tell them as well. It could be really important. Look, I am going to help you. I promise. Do you have any idea who Blake was sneaking around with?
Michael heads over.
You don't think that's who did this to him?
Oh, I mean, it could be possible.
Miss Jenners? Mr. Jarvis's partner?
I don't think I know you.
He's new, Detective Michael, or Mickey? Mick?
Detective Michael Hogan, and I'm going to have to ask you to come with me if you don't mind.
Detective? Dahlia and Blake were together for 3 years.
Right. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. I can arrange to have you meet with a victim's advocate if you like, but first, I really need to ask you to come with me. And, Sheriff Brown, back to the station for questioning.
You'll come with me?
Yes, of course.
No. I've already taken Miss Parker's statement. I really must insist that you come with me alone.
I mean, and with Sheriff Brown, of course.
But this isn't formal questioning, is it, Detective?
Well,
so wouldn't it be nice if Dahlia had some support? Or, if this is formal questioning, then maybe she should be calling a lawyer.
No. She can have support.
Great. All right, I'll drive us. Okay, we'll see you there.
His fake smile fades and he purses his lips.
Great. Never a break.
See you at the station, Bertie.
Righto, kiddo.
Michael raises his eyebrows and looks away. Next, at the station, deputies work at their desks. Michael walks into an interview room.
Well, thank you guys for coming in again.
He stares at Nellie, who drinks from a juice box.
Oh.
She sets the juice box down.
Good. Okay. So, you were home all night, Miss Chatters? You didn't go out at all? That's your statement, right?
Yes, that's what she said. I heard it, too.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My last class ended at 5.
Fine. And what were you teaching?
Soch 101. My mother used to teach it, too.
Okay.
And my stepsister picked me up at the sub.
Oh, Student Union Building.
Yes, I know. Thank you very much.
Well, just...
I've got it. Thank you. So if you could, please, for the record, Miss Chanders, give me your sister's full name.
Oh, formal.
Stepsister. My dad was remarried.
Okay.
Colleen Hartel. And we rent an apartment at the Mason Building.
And Miss... Hartel was home with you all night?
Yes, yeah. We made spaghetti, vegetarian, with eggplant.
Yum.
So, you had dinner. Go on, please.
Well, like I told Nellie, mm-hmm. I called Blake after. It was, like, 6:45?
Yeah, 6:45, that's
Ms.
what you said.
Ms. Parker, if you would please stop interfering with my investigation, that would be great.
Oh.
She gestures pursed lips.
Thank you. Now, this call, was this your only communication with Blake last night?
Yes. Yeah, he was in a hurry, which fit in with my suspicion lately that...
She looks at Nellie, who urges her to go on, and nods.
That he may have been cheating on me.
You suspected Blake of infidelity?
Well, just this morning, I received a letter in the
support
mail.
Support person? You are not my person of interest.
Wait, person of interest? Does that mean I'm a suspect?
No. All parties are of interest in the early stages of a murder investigation. But if I'm being frank, Miss Channers, you just gave me a very convincing motive. So how long did you suspect your partner of cheating?
A few weeks, maybe a month. I really don't know.
2 weeks to a month, okay.
Borgie knocks on the door.
Just one sec. Look, in light of this new incriminating information, I really need to consult with my, Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll be right back.
He leaves the room.
You made me tell the police and they think I killed him for it.
No, I don't think they think that. All right, maybe Michael is considering the idea, but you have to tell him. Otherwise, you'd be withholding, and that's gotta be worse.
Everything's worse with Blake murdered. I never even wanted to talk about the cheating, even before. And why does everyone want me to talk about being suspicious?
Who's everyone?
Okay, Sheriff says you can go, but please stay in Babylon and we'll be in touch as the investigation proceeds. You wouldn't happen to have the access code to Blake's phone, would you?
No.
All right. Please, stay in Babylon.
Later, outside the station.
Oh no, she should be pulling up soon.
Oh.
Do you think they'll really get into Blake's phone? I mean, it's like a violation of privacy.
I don't know.
Oh, there she is. Oh, and what are you gonna do?
I'm gonna solve this case. Dahlia, I know you didn't do this. Everyone else needs to know it too.
Thank you. You always take on everyone's problems. But how do you know where to start?
Oh, I have an idea. Don't you worry.
Dahlia! She can't be away from work long. She owns her business. Coming, Colleen!
Well, I could have driven you.
Oh, she wanted to. She's like that.
Oh.
But you'll keep me in the loop?
So loopy! I promise.
Dahlia heads for Colleen, a lean woman.
You okay? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
They share a hug and get into Colleen's car.
Forgive me for trespassing.
She ducks under the police tape and jogs up to the tree. She crouches in front of a bed of pink flowers and glances around. She spots a red-colored pen lying amidst the flowers and picks it up. She studies it as Peter, the dark-haired man, sneaks up on her from behind.
Hold up. What'd you find?
Peter, you scared me half to death.
Why are you skulking?
I thought I saw something. It's just a Bank of Babylon pen. You steal these?
He holds up his hands.
Yeah, of course you do. Everyone does.
She lowers the pen.
What are you doing here?
Huh? Oh, I came to get something I left here last night. I didn't know about Blake until I saw the crime scene tape. It's really awful. Can't believe he was murdered.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I was just with Dahlia. So you were here last night?
Sure, poker night. Hey, that new detective? Strict. I'm never getting inside.
Well, it is a secure crime scene. We're not even allowed out here.
Oh, well. I gotta go.
Peter, what did you leave at the house? Like, what did you forget last night?
Oh, nothing. Listen, Grace needs my help with the cat. First vet check. Thanks for that, by the way. We're doing a grand kitten reveal on Sunday. I was starting to think you're avoiding me.
What? No, Sam.
I wasn't going to bite your head off, Nellie. Only inviting you to a party.
Peter, who played poker?
Usual suspects. Jody Day, Connor Woolley, Grace, Blake, me. Played the first Friday of every month for years. Why?
Last night was Wednesday.
Yeah. so Blake changed it.
Did he do that often?
Never.
So why did he do it last night?
Don't know. How about you ask someone who actually knew him? Sometimes I think I really didn't.
He leaves. She stands with a pensive expression. A patrol car pulls up outside a building. Nellie takes cover behind some bushes and watches it. Two deputies approach a door with a large X on it made from police tape. The male deputy opens the door and they head inside. Nellie steps sideways and hides behind more bushes. The deputies leave. Nellie stands up as the deputies stride past the patrol car. Next, Nellie approaches a door.
What's hiding in here?
She reaches for the handle and opens the door. She snoops into a tool shed. She inches forward and reaches for a shelf. She turns and finds a gray-haired man in a baseball hat pointing a shotgun at her.
Please don't shoot me.
Tell me why not.
I knew Blake. I'm a friend of...
Blake is no friend of mine, and this is my property.
Maybe we could be friends?
He gives her a cold stare. Later, outside his front door, he stands with the gun resting against his shoulder.
I'm Nellie Parker.
Rumpelsnide.
Would you mind if I asked you a few questions?
Police already took my statement.
But maybe just one thing first. Would you mind?
He lowers the shotgun.
Okay, yep. Great! Okay, so much better. Do you know what happened to Blake Jarvis last night?
Murder?
Yes, between 10 p.m. and midnight. Mr. Snide.
Call me Rumpel. Snide's my father.
Okay, Mr. Snide, did you hear anything unusual last night? Like anything out of the ordinary?
No noise from Jarvis would be out of the ordinary.
Oh.
Power tools, day in, day out. Customers going right to the door. This is a neighborhood.
Yes, indeed. But surely not customers at night.
Well, no. A lot of loud people last night, though. Wasn't even Friday.
What time did you hear the loud people?
10 p.m., shouting. And then 11, the light went off at the workshop over there. Shines right into my window, right up there.
Well, that must be horrible for you.
Yeah.
But you said you heard shouting. Was it angry shouting or joyful shouting? Maybe scared kind?
Angry.
Oh. And then an hour later, the workshop light goes on. Yeah.
Could have been a half hour. Never place clocks in the bedroom.
No, of course not. No place for clocks in the bedroom. Do you think it was the security light that went on?
Motion sensor. Jarvis trips it every time he goes out there, which is a lot of times in a night, if you ask me. More lately.
Did you see Blake go out there last night? I mean, you've got a great view.
Yeah, put my sleep mask on.
Oh.
Earplugs, too. You're getting ready for a final walkthrough, they call it. A lot of work.
You're selling your house. Oh, I didn't see a realtor sign out front.
Private sale. Privacy is my constitutional right, you know.
Oh, all right. Oh, Rumpel, do you ever get intruders back here?
Sure.
Because I swear I heard someone in the bushes earlier today.
Get rats, rabbits, slugs, snakes. You.
Her jaw drops. She leaves. Next, in a parking lot.
No, Blake didn't have poker last night. It was Wednesday. What do I know?
Five of them played for years without me.
She whispers ice to Colleen.
Colleen and I go to the movies on Fridays.
Poker wasn't a secret, though. I mean, he always told me. I think he always told me.
I was at Blake's house, and there were no dirty dishes, no playing cards.
That was Blake. Meat freak in the house.
Dust all over the workshop.
But poker would explain the wad of cash I found.
Colleen hands Delia a drink.
Cash?
Yeah, I found $20,000 in Blake's pocket.
Cash?
Yes.
Could he have won it?
At poker? Of course not. I mean, they didn't even play for money.
What about money?
I did talk to the old man next door and...
No. Don't listen to Grumpel. He
hates Blake.
Grumpel? Oh. All right. Could it have been from a furniture sale, though?
Blake didn't take cash.
Huh.
Anyway, he was working on a bench until Monday.
Ask her.
Nellie spots Michael.
Did you find out who he was sneaking around with?
The other woman?
No, I'm on it, though, okay?
She rushes to her car.
I'll talk to you later.
She climbs into the driver's seat. Later, Nellie stands in a different parking lot in size. Michael rides a bike down the sidewalk.
Hello again, Detective Michael.
Miss Parker, what are you doing here?
I'm just, visiting a friend.
That friend's name wouldn't happen to be Jody Day, would it?
Ooh, hey. Chain grease. That's the worst.
Seriously, what are you doing here? Are you following me?
Following you on this thing? No. But I have learned some information you may find interesting.
Well, yeah, like what?
Blake hosted a poker game last night.
Yeah, I know that. What I'm more interested in is why your friend Dahlia didn't tell us about that. Makes me wonder what else she's hiding.
She didn't know, because it was Wednesday.
You sure about that?
That it was Wednesday? Yeah.
She pats his hand and walks away.
That's not what I meant. Hey!
Are you following me?
No, I'm not.
They enter a building.
Oh, Jody! Nellie!
Miss Day, just the person we're looking for.
We've got some questions for you.
No, I have some questions for you.
Jody the redhead glances between them, next, in a sitting area.
So, Miss Day, you went to Blake Jarvis's Wednesday night poker game?
I thought Wednesday was a nice change for poker.
And was it? Nice?
No, actually, it was tense. Blake kept checking his phone, which is a rule we have. No phones at the table.
Sure.
And Peter called him out, and I don't blame him. But it seemed like Blake just wanted the game to end after that. He forced a bold move all in and lost. And the boys started exchanging jabs. Some select words were thrown.
Blake's neighbor said that he heard angry shouting. Peter and Blake.
But Grace stepped in. She's so diplomatic. Nice work getting her that kitten, Nellie.
Thank you. She deserves it. But it wasn't me.
Was shouting usual at these games?
Definitely not. We're a please pass the pretzels crowd.
Peter said that he left something at Blake's that night. Do you know what it was?
Hey, just... I'll ask the questions, okay?
Oh, right. Okay.
Thank you. Do you know what it was?
No.
No.
He makes a note. Nellie gives her a nod.
Blake gave me my first woodworking job. I apprenticed under him.
Jody, I'm so sorry.
I know you understand, Nellie.
All right, Miss Day, thank you. That'll be all for now. Thank you very much.
Yes, we should be going. Jody, who won the pot that night?
Oh, that was Connor.
Connor Woolley, the banker.
She leaves with a tight-lipped smile.
Thank you.
He follows Nellie. Jody looks on and heads for a closed door. Now, outdoors.
So, what do you think of that fight between Blake and Peter?
Are you asking me?
Well, you knew them both.
I do know them. But are you admitting that I'm helpful?
No.
But you want to know what I think.
The sheriff seems to think that you are an asset, so... Yeah. I would like to know what you think.
Deal.
No, not a deal. I just want to know what you think.
It's kind of a deal.
I was wondering what Peter Wong was doing at Blake's this morning. Something was definitely up. We can't ask him right now. He's at an appointment.
Vet appointment? For the kitty.
Do you want a ride?
You don't know where I'm going.
Connor Woolley's, right? Are you sure you don't want a ride?
Yes. I mean, no.
Okay, race you there.
She runs to her car and he takes the bike off the stand.
See you soon!
Later, wooden ducks lie on Connor's dinner table.
We never play for money. I'm the one who won't go there.
So you gamble for this stuff instead?
Money is work for me. This is fun.
Huh, interesting.
How much are they worth?
Oh, it's worth a gamble. There were only 100 of these ever made.
You won all those at poker?
Some nights are luckier than others.
A petite woman.
What's this? What's going on?
Oh, hi, Paige.
Honey Pie, hello. My wife, Paige.
Hi.
Nellie and Detective Michael were viewing my loot.
Oh, so Connor told you he bet the weed whacker and came home with collectible mallards.
They're worth a lot.
If you place zero value on utility. You're here about Jarvis?
I am.
Connor was one of the last to see him alive. All everyone at Helen's can talk about is murder.
Wait, everyone knows?
I heard from Peter Huang. He heard it from Jody Day.
Wait, Peter did?
You bet. Jody's EMT friend spilled the beans when the ambulance was dispatched. She called Peter when he was banking with me. We must have been the first to know, other than you authorities and the killer.
So what time did Peter get that call?
Came into the bank when we first opened. That's 9 a.m.
I was at the theater last night, in case you're wondering. Connor was at poker, but he came home right after.
I told him that.
He was home by 11.
10:15. I told him.
Right. I mean, I was home by 11 after the play ended, Death of a Salesman. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, me too.
Can anyone confirm that you were home before 11?
I walked home from Blake's. I left when everyone else did, so I must have been here by 10:15.
And you work at the Bank of Babylon?
I do.
Blake Jarvis held an account there?
Affirmative. I do the books for his business, too. Blake was a build-it-with-your-own-hands type. Needed me to handle his money. Ugh.
Paige snickers.
Do you have something to add, Paige? No.
Okay, I'm gonna need to see Blake's bank statements and his business records. If you could help facilitate that, I would much appreciate it.
Of course.
Oh, he also had a very large sum of cash on his person.
Like a really big stack.
You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
No.
Dinner time? Connor?
That's my cue to chop carrots.
Could you show the detective and Nellie out?
We're gonna need you to actually sign your statement.
We
are? Right? Well, it's protocol, so...
Yeah. Protocol, please.
I didn't know you work with the police, Nellie. Did you leave the Lifestyle magazine?
Sure didn't. Look for monster-in-law advice in the weekend edition.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it.
Neat pen!
Thanks. This is my lucky space pen.
Oh.
You want to give it a try? It writes upside down.
Oh, wow. I bet you keep this in your pocket all the time. I know I would.
Solid bet, Nellie. You should play poker.
Thank you. Do you have one of these neato pens, Paige?
No.
So what do you use?
Pens.
You know, I think you should probably sign the statement, too.
She should?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's protocol.
Yeah, so there's that protocol.
Protocol.
Yeah.
Paige searches the pocket of her denim jacket. Nellie stops Michael from handing his pen to Paige. Paige takes a red Bank of Babylon pen from her bag.
I didn't say any of these things. This is Connor's statement. Why should I sign it?
Yeah, that's bonkers. Michael, she doesn't need to sign the statement. It's Connor's. So we should go. Cool pen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The couple gaze on as the guests walk out.
Did you see Paige reach for that pen in her pocket? And then it wasn't there. And then she got a Bank of Babylon pen.
Okay. Hey, what was with the signatures and the pens? I didn't understand any of that.
Connor might be in the clear with that fancy space pen, but I think Paige uses up those Bank of Babylon pens like they're going out of style.
In the clear how? Because of a pen? What? I don't know.
Oh, hey.
Oh, Connor, what's up?
She doesn't know that I came out. Michael, I need you to understand about the timing. I didn't mean to make it sound suspicious. Neither did Paige, I'm sure.
Okay, I'm listening.
She's mad at me.
Oh.
She lost her wedding ring. I bought her a replacement. I thought it would cheer her up. But I was quite wrong. I mean, I got the size quite wrong. I don't think she has sausage fingers.
Oh,
it was an honest mistake.
Connor, I'm so sorry. I get it.
Really? I don't.
Sleeping in separate rooms.
Oh, I went to the guest room like she told me. I didn't know about the play. I thought she was sleeping when I came back. She hates it when I wake her up.
But you still don't have an alibi, Connor. Paige can't confirm when you came in.
Correct. I mean, no.
He's right. It's not less suspicious.
No.
I want you to know there's nothing fishy, whether Paige went to the theater or not.
You suspect she didn't?
Death of a Salesman?
Oh.
Michael looks at Nellie.
She couldn't know where I was on account of different rooms.
So unless she passed by me in the hallway.
Oh, like ships passing in the night.
Okay, let me see if I get this straight.
Oh.
You came out here to tell us that neither of you have an alibi from the time you left poker and she left the theater, if in fact she went to the theater at all.
Because neither has a clue if the other one was here that night.
But the car was here when I came back.
Oh.
Yeah, I came in through the garage and I saw it parked there. That's why I thought she was sleeping.
Well, that's great. Very helpful. Thank you, Connor.
But?
Not less suspicious.
Nope.
No, I suppose not.
Okay, then. Why don't you come by the station in the morning with Blake's financials, and we'll talk. Okay, great.
Connor! Carrots? Oh, Connor, you better go.
Mm-hmm.
Honey pie?
He runs toward the house. Nellie pouts.
Poor Connor.
Yeah, he made his bed.
With sausage fingers.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Paige steps out.
Hey, we were just on our way to the...
Yeah, we were going to go to that place.
Yeah, the place to talk about...
Those things.
The things.
So, bye, Paige.
Bye, Paige. See ya.
Thank you so much.
She heads for her car and he grabs his bike. Paige goes into the house and shuts the door.
Yeah. I'll see you at the diner. Good? Okay.
Nighttime at the diner.
Okay, sorry about that. This is the sheriff on the phone. Just more of the typical.
Typical?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the typical. I want to know typical.
You don't give up, do you? You know I cannot talk to you about this stuff.
But you love my inside information. People tell me things.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone.
Help me help you.
Ugh.
Wasn't that the deal we made?
No. There was no deal.
She gestures zip lips.
What are you, five?
She grins. He sighs and glances away.
Okay. The talc screen showed nothing unusual.
And there were no fingerprints on the broomstick or on your light switch.
So the killer wore gloves.
No. Gloves would have left old fingerprints intact. The killer wiped the surfaces clean afterwards.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanup effort.
Yeah.
What about Blake's phone?
No, we're still waiting for the records on that. Tech can't get into the phone.
She waves at a couple who walk in.
Do you know everyone?
Everyone knows everyone in Babbleton.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sheriff seems to think you have some kind of, I don't know, special knowledge.
Is that why you're buying me dinner?
Well played.
Okay, fine.
What I want to get my money's worth.
Oh.
Show me some magic.
How about,
He points at the couple seated at a table.
Oh. Yours truly, feeling jelly. Intensely envious of his wife Darlene when she started getting attention at work.
Ooh. Mm. Never underestimate jealousy.
Hmm.
But it looks like those two crazy kids worked it out.
Oh. That's not Darlene.
If I didn't see that coming.
Oh, whoa. Hold that thought. I do see pancakes coming.
Breakfast for dinner. Thank extra you. Whip, extra strawberries, detective.
Oh, thank you so much.
You.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so hungry.
Mmm. Next, he leans back in his seat.
Oh, I really needed that.
Big first week, huh?
Oh, yeah. You have no idea. The paperwork alone. And I think Chef Brahm is trying to test me with this case.
There is one thing that's been bothering me about Peter Wong.
Okay. You want me to ask you what doesn't jive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will. What doesn't jive?
All right, so, well, he doesn't like kittens. There's that.
Yeah.
But also the timing. Jody said she called him when the ambulance was sent out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw him hours later at the house, he made out like he had arrived all innocent just to pick something up. And then he dodged me when I asked him what it was. Hmm?
Yeah, it's odd. But what about the pens? I didn't understand what was happening with the pen.
Yes, so I found this under the bushes at Blake's house. A Bank of Babbleton pen. It's a bank teller pen.
Yeah, I get that, but when did you find it? And at my crime scene?
I went back to interview the neighbor, grumpy guy. They call him Grumple, if you can believe that. Oh, probably not to his face. Anyways, naturally, I thought the pen belonged to Connor. Banker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to ask for signatures to see who had a pen. Now I think probably Paige dropped the pen. Or, well, anyone who steals bank pens. Why would Paige be hiding in the bushes at Blake's place?
How many more times are you going to do this to me?
Find things that are useful to the case?
No. Come on, you're like a lone wolf. You get that I'm trying to solve a murder here, right? This is my first case with Sheriff Brahm, and every time I turn around, you're jumping out of a cake with jazz hands saying, oh, look at me, here's some more evidence I withheld.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just used to working alone, writing my column.
Do you live alone, too?
Do you live with someone?
No.
He lowers his gaze.
No. Not anymore. I got divorced. There, they said it. That's why the transfer.
Fresh start.
Yeah, something like that. Look, good work with the pen. I mean it. I'm glad you found it. But moving forward, maybe we need to work on our communication just a little bit. Okay?
He cocks his head.
Okay.
Okay. Good. That being said, did it look like anybody been hiding in the bushes recently?
Definitely. There were broken branches, and I swear, I heard someone scurrying away when I was finding Blake's body. Speculation, not new evidence.
Mm.
I promise.
She does sign for the applause. He mimics the gesture.
Okay. Now we got something.
He eats a strawberry.
What? Well, what now? What I do?
No, nothing. I just like that you ordered that.
He wears a faint smile. She eats a spoonful of soup. Next, a bird's eye view of vehicles heading down a road. Later, Nellie parks the convertible in front of her garage. Moments later, she enters her house and shuts the door behind her. She turns on a light, then takes off her sling bag and puts it away. She steps into an adjacent room and gazes at a broken window pane. She finds a rock on the floor with a note attached to it. She crouches and picks it up. She stands up and removes the note from the rock. She unfolds the note and it reads, "Nellie, get your nose out of where it doesn't belong. Sincerely, mess with me and regret it." Nellie lowers the note and touches her nose grimly. A view from outside stays fixed on her. The next day, at the Babbleton Life magazine.
Maybe souffle isn't meant to be baked in a toaster oven.
If Dahlia's motive was Blake cheating, why would she share that?
She grabs a document from her desk.
And this murder definitely didn't seem planned.
Ooh, crime of passion.
Nellie steps away. Fiona, the thin woman, regards a souffle in her hand and sets it down. Nellie flips over an idea board on a stand.
So Blake was pushed down the stairs. There's no weapon. How did the police find clues?
Nellie sticks post-its on the board. They read police suspect 1, Dahlia Chatters, motive Blake cheating, alibi, home with stepsister Colleen.
No weapon, no footprints, no tire tracks, no fingerprints, no access to Blake's phone yet. But the killer swept the floor where they walked. They wiped the light switch and the broom handle clean. Blake had cash in his pocket, but they didn't steal it unless they didn't know about the money.
She walks up to her desk. Fiona glances at the crime board.
Paige Woolley at the theater, I don't think so.
Nellie looks at her.
She's been working double shifts at Helen's and the DMV.
Paige could have been hiding in Blake's bushes. Someone dropped a Bank of Appleton pen there.
Could she be Blake's other woman? I mean, people can surprise you.
Her marriage is on the rocks.
Connor!
An affair could contribute to that.
Oh, not Jody.
We don't want to think that anyone we know did this, but it happened in Babbleton, so chances are they did.
You know, I have to say, a murder plan to push a guy like Blake down the stairs is not a very good murder plan.
It happened in the heat of the moment. The killer scrambled to cover their tracks. Now they're worried they made a mistake. They don't want me or anyone looking that closely.
Nellie, how do you know all this?
Well,
she grabs the warning note from her desk.
Someone left this at my house.
Get your nose out of where it doesn't belong.
No.
Somebody broke into your house with this?
Well, they threw it through the window with a rock, but no hearts on the eyes, so...
Don't mess with me. Nellie, this is a threat.
Question is, what was happening when the killer pushed Blake? What was the feeling that caused the push? That is the motive. A crime of passion. What makes people passionate?
Money or romance?
Peter Huang, poker player, angry-eyed, returned to the scene, alibi, home with wife,
yes.
Grace.
Oh, I spoke with Blake's neighbor, Grumple.
Huh? Grumple Snide?
Yes.
Yes, I wrote about him for the Bloom Count. He was runner-up.
He does not like noise or light or Blake or...
You?
Me, very much. And he just sold his house. These are the things I know so far.
Okay, here he is. This is the photo that I used in the Bloom Count issue.
Paige Woolley?
What? She's like Rumpel's niece or something.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Michael enters.
Hey.
Yo!
She flips over the board, then rests one hand on it and the other on her hip.
Hello.
Huh.
Detective Michael. Hey, do you know Fiona? She makes a great souffle. It's actually not your best, but, she's great.
Hello, Detective. What can we help you with?
Yes.
I know you're in the middle of,
work?
Work, right. You wouldn't happen to know anything about monster mothers, would you? You said something about a column or an article.
She
glances at Fiona.
Monsters in law? Yes!
That was it. Close enough. Listen, I need you to come with me, okay? So I drive really fast. So I'll just wait in the car for you, okay? Come with me. Nice to meet you. All right. See you in a bit.
Detective Mickey?
Detective Michael Hogan?
Detective Dreamy?
Okay. I'm going now.
Michael and Nellie climb out.
You do drive fast.
Sheriff said hurry, so we hurry. Dahlia's mom is kicking up quite a fuss.
Well, she probably thinks Dahlia should have had a lawyer.
Hey, that was a statement until she handed us a motive on a silver platter.
All right, where do I come in?
What do you mean, where do you come in? Aren't you always in? Yesterday you earned everything like a dirty shirt. Suddenly you want to back out?
I don't want to back out. Paige, Wooly! Hold on!
Paige walks off.
Hey! Well, where are you going?
It's just a quick pit stop. Don't worry, we'll still win the race. Paige!
He throws his hands up in the air. Nellie catches up with Paige.
Please, yes. What is wrong with you? I am on my way to work.
Please tell me. Why did you make that noise about Blake and money?
Yes!
That is the noise.
Because Blake had no money. He wasted Connor's time. He mostly didn't pay him. He spent as much as he earned. That's called a furniture hobby. Not a business. You know, I saw him at Vera's jewelry store visiting an engagement ring he could not afford. All like, my precious. Honestly, I don't know how Dahlia could even stand him.
You took a second job. You can't relate. Okay, Paige, I'm sorry. I spoke with Rumpelstide. Your uncle, Rumpel?
I have to go.
Next, at the station with Dahlia's mother.
The only thing that my daughter is guilty of is her horrible taste in men. Bad enough that she would have married the scoundrel, but the way that you treated her, like some common criminal.
Oh, Dahlia was marrying Blake Jarvis?
He told me his intentions, of course. Brazen, presumptuous man.
So he wasn't pulling away from her then?
Of course he wasn't. Why would he do that? My daughter was paying for everything. With my money, mind you. Mortgaged and remortgaged to the hilt. He gets her to fund his business. Furniture.
So you were worried he was using her?
It's worse than that, Nellie. I heard he was cheating. One of those has his cake and eats it too types.
I've never really understood that. Who doesn't eat their own cake?
Can we just sit down? Please, sit down.
They sit.
Thank you. Where did you hear about the cheating?
Women are intuitive, detective. But she was smitten and blind. I had to take matters into my own hands for her protection.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to explain to me exactly what you mean by that, Mrs. Chatters.
Ms.
Chatters, and please remember that it is your duty not to obstruct justice.
This is the kind of person you keep company with?
Zinnia, I know. Detective Michael is infuriating. He can be self-righteous and really annoying.
He can also be right here.
But I do believe he means well. He is an honest man who would not have got a statement from Dahlia without a lawyer present if he had thought she was a suspect.
Zinnia looks at him.
She's not a suspect?
Well, I...
You were just protecting your daughter. You were saying...
I hired a detective to follow Blake, a private investigator. I had to tell Dahlia this morning.
Oh, so she was angry. Oh.
Did the PI get back to you with his findings?
Well, he said he would take photos that I could use as evidence to try to talk some sense into her. That's all I wanted to do, Nellie, was to catch Blake in the act.
Yeah, of course.
The PI was parked outside of Blake's house Wednesday night.
Wait, what? Wednesday night? You had a PI doing surveillance the night of the murder.
Zinnia blinks and glances at Nellie.
Do you think that he might have seen something to do with the murder?
He might have. He probably did.
Yeah, I'm gonna need his name.
Larry Foote.
Okay.
From Larry Foote Investigations.
Oh, yes, on Spruce Street.
Spruce Street.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Next, on the sidewalk outside Larry's office.
So, remember, I am the detective, so I will be asking the questions,
but
okay?
But Bergie did say that
I know what the sheriff said, but this is a murder investigation, and though I do appreciate your help with Zinnia, you are still just a civilian, and there are procedures that have to be followed.
Of course. Procedures.
So we're in agreement, then. I'm the leader of this investigation. You are the observer. Got it?
Got it. Active observer.
No. I didn't say active. Passive. Silent observer.
She walks away, and he shrugs.
Not sure why I bother.
Moments later, he opens Larry's ransacked office and steps in with Nellie in tow.
Oh, no.
He scans his surroundings. Later, he makes a call from Larry's desk.
No, Sheriff, there's no one here. Yeah, one security camera, but it's smashed. Yeah, sure, I can go check again. All right, I'll call you right back. Bye.
She shakes a hula doll.
Don't touch anything.
She sets the doll down.
I'll be right back.
He leaves. Aboard, Nelly does a lip drill. She sits in Larry's comfortable chair and smiles. Larry the bearded man walks in. He halts in his tracks.
Oh, have mercy. Nellie Parker? What happened?
The office was robbed.
My office?
Larry Foote? The police are looking for you.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. I didn't do it.
I think they just want to know if you're okay.
Oh.
Did someone threaten you?
He straightens up a chair.
No. Not lately.
He picks up the keyboard.
Your computer was stolen.
Yeah, well, nothing that ain't backed up on the cloud.
Brilliant. Zinnia Chatters told us she hired you to follow Blake Jarvis. Any chance you caught any photos at his house?
Oh, big time.
Oh.
Caught a skulker.
Wow.
Bit of a spray and pray in the dark, but probably something to ID.
Amazing. I wonder what else Blake was up to this week.
Mostly worked and,
He beckons to her.
He was buying a ring for his lady friend.
Oh, Larry Foote. You seem like a guy with a story to tell.
I probably shouldn't.
She cocks her head and smiles sweetly.
Yeah, all right.
He walks around his desk.
I just came from Vera's jewelry shop. Oh. Check this puppy out.
He hands her a ring.
Oh, if I'd had something like that. X might just be a state of mind.
I've said yes to plastic.
Get this. Blake agrees to buy it from Vera 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
$18,000.
$18,000?
Yeah.
She returns the ring.
But he tells Vera he can't pay for it till today. Not even a deposit. He was all set to pick up the ring. Payment in full at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Reservation at Gastronome at 8.
Oh. Blake was going to propose to Dahlia on Friday. That's why he switched the poker night, kept it a secret from her. But wait, are we sure that Dahlia was the person he was proposing to?
Sure, we're sure. Vera says so.
Oh.
Blake even brought a friend to try it on, same size as Dahlia.
Who was the person he brought to try on the ring?
He shrugs.
And how did you end up with that big fat diamond ring in your pocket?
Zinnia got real protective. Calls me this morning in a real tizzy, fighting with the daughter. Wants me to secure the ring, she says, before Dahlia learns it went out into the world on someone else's finger.
Mm.
She's high-strung, that Zinnia. But a good mama. I like the cut of her jib.
Everything's coming up, Larry.
Well, not everything.
Well, yeah.
Hey.
This is new Detective Michael Hogan. He's going to want to speak with you.
Okay. Larry Foote? Whoa, you're leaving?
Deadline at the office. Type.
Okay, fine, but...
Larry has backups of all the photos.
Yeah. I'll deal with that in a minute. But just so you know, this break-in means the killer is escalating. So you understand how dangerous that can be, right? And you're okay?
Sure. Positive?
Listen, I'm going back to the scene of the crime this afternoon. You're not going to follow me this time, right?
Right. No way.
Good. Now, please, be careful.
Michael, you got this.
She pats his arm and leaves.
Yeah, I know I got this, but...
He turns to Larry.
I got this, but does she have this?
Zinnia said that Blake is broke and needed Dahlia's money, which, as it turns out, is her money. Meanwhile, he's walking around with a fistful of cash, shopping for a 2-carat diamond ring. Just doesn't make sense.
What does Detective Michael think?
He's, difficult to read.
Mm-hmm. You're never difficult.
Oh! Look at this, a submission from, Jealous Green Monster. What to say to all the monsters,
You know, you have this amazing talent for being able to help everybody else with their romance. Maybe take your own advice sometime.
What, like about dating?
I mean, it's been years since Fred. You do date sometimes, right?
Well, what about Detective Dreamy? Is he single?
Maybe, you know, I like to be carefree. And maybe I don't want to be bogged down with responsibility to others. Maybe I'm a lone wolf. Nellie, you are the most connected, caring, community-minded person I know.
If anyone in Babelton needs help, you are there. That is the opposite of carefree.
Well, that is not the point. The point is, who is Blake Jarvis sneaking around with, We're missing something over there.
I don't know.
Next, in the yard of the retirement home.
Did you know that Rumpelsnide will be joining us at Babelton Rose? He was something of a beau of mine back in 1967.
I just met Rumpelsnide. He sold his house.
Yeah, I liked Rumpel.
That is a rare response to Rumpel, Granny.
Oh, never judge a book by his cover.
Do you know anything about his relationship to Paige Woolley?
Well, Paige, yes, lovely girl.
Also, not a widely held opinion.
She sold his house.
But Paige isn't a realtor.
Oh. Rumpel hates doing business with strangers. And Paige knew a buyer, so the house never got on the market. She got $300,000 for him. So now he can move here and he doesn't have to work so hard.
Granny, that can't be right. That was the price years ago, not now.
Numbers. That's not the point, is it?
You're right. It's not, I suppose. The point is, your former beau is coming to live here. What will the others make of it?
I suppose it'll rumple some feathers.
Granny!
Later, Nellie's car comes to a halt by the curb. She unfastens her seatbelt and spots Michael standing behind a tree with a Valentine's card in hand. She gets out and heads over as he watches a building. She joins him and he startles.
What are we watching?
Jody's job hunting.
Oh, and we're hunting Jody. You have your binoculars? Or do you use a magnifying glass?
Okay.
Jody walks out.
Miss Day, if I could just talk to you for a second, please.
Hi, Jody. Hi, Nellie. Officer?
Detective, actually.
Miss Day, I found something in Blake Jarvis's workshop. It's of a personal nature.
Oh. Well, this should be good.
A photo of you was found in Blake's possession.
Enchanted. Do show.
A photo inside the card features Jody in a red dress.
Oh, he kept it. Nellie, look.
Oh, ooh la la.
I know, right?
Would you care to explain the circumstances that led to that photo?
Detective, have you ever lost a bet?
Nellie fights back laughter, then giggles.
So that's not,
I was so sure it would be Blake in that dress. But somehow he drew into the full house.
Next time.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you.
Jody meets Nellie's gaze. Nellie shakes her head and rushes after him.
Do you want a ride?
No.
A milkshake?
No.
Now at the diner.
Oh, is that how it's pronounced? Oh, here we go. Ooh.
Goody.
Thank you. That looks fantastic.
Mm. Hannah sets two milkshakes in front of them.
I do have a magnifying glass, by the way. Yeah, I am a detective, after all.
Working on the weekend, huh?
So how about you? How's your weekend?
Well, I went to go see my grandmother and the many, many gentlemen who love her.
Oh, so Grandma's a bit of a heartbreaker, is she?
Granny Lou, more heartwarming.
He watches her.
I see. So, kind of like you, I guess.
She meets his gaze.
Oh, don't think I'm a lone wolf anymore?
They didn't say that. I'm still trying to figure you out.
Do I make it difficult? My friend Fiona says I can be difficult.
I wouldn't say difficult, just... it's a bit of a process.
Okay, well, bring it on. What do you want to know?
Oh, yeah? Anything?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I know. What makes you so relentlessly happy?
Oh, honestly,
She shrugs.
Most things make me happy. Well, I guess a few things don't make me happy.
Okay, well, what are those? If you don't mind my asking.
Yeah, well, I wasn't always a lone wolf.
Oh, really?
I was engaged to Fred, my childhood friend, later my boyfriend. And then he proposed. It was a dark and stormy night, pouring rain in this parking lot behind the county fair midway. He had won this little plastic purple ring in one of those
Yeah.
Toss games.
I know.
And he's dropped down to his knee right into a puddle. We were laughing so hard I could hardly get the words out to say yes. I remember on the car stereo, the song was Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Poison. Good song.
Yeah, great song.
She lowers her eyes wistfully.
I'm sorry, it's not a sad memory. I have a lot of great memories with Fred, but time was not on our side. He died in a car accident 5 years ago.
I'm so sorry.
She nods and looks away.
Well, he gave me an appreciation for glam rock.
Yes, he did.
And dancing in the rain. Taught me what it's like to love and be loved.
He listens attentively and she stares off in thought.
I guess I just choose not to be sad.
She gives him a smile and he raises his eyebrows. He looks on as she stirs her milkshake with the straw.
Nellie?
Yeah, I know. Heart on my sleeve.
He nods and grins. Now, at the kitten reveal in Grace the Short Woman's yard, Nellie holds the cat.
She's perfect.
Aw, I just love her. She was right under my peonies.
Oh, bless you.
She spots Jody and Connor.
Here you go.
She hands the cat to Grace.
Hi.
Nellie approaches Peter, who grills patties.
Hey, you. Nellie Parker. Thanks for showing up. I was worried you were going to hide on me forever because you did a bad thing.
You can't think that kitten was a bad thing.
She's growing on me.
Mm-hmm.
Surf or turf?
Surf, please. So, Peter, Jody called you before I saw you at Blake's. You came there after you knew that he had been killed.
Hang on a second.
He closes the grill.
That's not what I knew. Jody said an ambulance went to pick him up. That's it.
Uh-huh.
She said nothing about murder. I know. It looks bad.
Yeah, it looks bad. You lied.
I had an argument with Blake I didn't want to tell you. I wanted to get something back. It was a watch he won off Grace the Friday before.
A watch?
Grace is no card shark. She had the flush, but she'd already bet away everything we brought. Grace was so upset with herself, and I'd become this villain who wouldn't let her get a cat.
Peter, that's not the reason.
Anyway, I went to see Blake, explained that the watch was worth too much for our game. He wouldn't hear it. He said he won fair and square. Rules are rules.
So you used the opportunity of him going in an ambulance to sneak in and try and steal it back?
I'd cop to it when he'd realize what I did. Maybe by then he'd see the light. I didn't know he was murdered, Nellie. I just thought he'd cut one of his big Blake thumbs on a table saw.
Dahlia smiles and waves at them as she walks in sporting a gold watch.
She's wearing Grace's bloody watch.
Next, Colleen sits on an outdoor couch with a tabby cat on her lap and strokes it. Nellie sits beside Dahlia and receives messages from Michael on her phone. You at that barbecue? Is Dahlia Chatters there? Nellie replies yep and yep.
How are you doing?
Sadness turned to anger thanks to my mother.
She should never have hired that private investigator.
She's just trying to help you. She was yelling at the police in your defense yesterday.
Well, yelling is my mother's specialty.
There was a robbery at the Private Eye's office, right?
Yeah, but he has digital files, so the police are going to get everything.
Really? They will. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll solve this now so they can stop persecuting me.
Nellie rests her hand on Dahlia's.
Dahlia, I have to ask you, where did you get this?
From Blake. Just out of the blue, too. Probably buttering me up so I wouldn't suspect his cheating.
Connor turns away.
It wasn't really his.
You don't think he took this from the other woman, do you?
He took it from Grace.
Blake stole my watch from Grace?
Not exactly. He won it.
Fair is fair. Ugh, when is this gonna get easier?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Nellie stands up.
Michael?
Dahlia Chatters, you are under arrest for the murder of Blake Jarvis. Please stand up.
Dahlia complies.
Turn around. You have the right to remain silent.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You ready to go? Let's go.
Nellie!
Nellie looks on helplessly. Connor rests his hand on his mouth as he watches. Michael opens the door of a patrol car and a deputy leads Delia in.
How can you do this? She has an alibi. She was with me. There's no way she murdered Blake.
Michael.
She was texting him all night long.
Seriously?
So she...
She lied. She was texting him every 10 minutes until 11:30, which is when she could have killed him. And Nellie, the texts, they were not friendly.
No, but Rumpel said the security light of the workshop went on earlier than that.
Tell it to the judge, Nellie. There's nothing I can do for you.
Michael, wait, please. Dahlia admitted she talked to Blake.
She said that call was her only communication with him.
Okay, so she was embarrassed my column was coming out. What if her letter was chosen?
What letter? Nellie? What letter?
Dahlia wrote into my column for advice about Blake's cheating. She signed it worried in Babbleton, but I knew it was her because I know her handwriting. I always figure it out. Anyways, I went to go see Blake to talk to him about the letter.
We talked about this. We did the communication thing. No more lone wolf stuff. Were you ever going to tell me about this?
I tried to tell you at the station.
You did not.
I don't believe Dahlia killed Blake.
Nellie, don't you get it? It doesn't matter what you believe. This is police work. Suspects get treated with objectivity, and you just don't have that.
She drops her gaze briefly.
No, I guess I don't. And if it means turning my back on my friends, I don't think I want it.
He throws his hands up in the air and leaves.
Nellie, fix this. I can't. I tried. I just made it worse. But Delia didn't do it. Please, Nellie.
The patrol car reverses and drives away as the guests watch. Nellie places her hand on Colleen's shoulder. Later, in Dahlia's kitchen.
Nellie, Dahlia didn't do it. Okay, so that night, you and Dahlia making dinner, vegetarian spaghetti.
With eggplant.
Yum. Then what?
We started a movie around 9:30.
What about Blake's neighbor? He's a really mean old man. Do you think he's the murderer? All right, so Dahlia's texting during the movie. Angry with Blake?
Yeah, she was texting, but I didn't ask about what I know better.
What about Jody Day? Did you know Jody worked for Blake, but she got laid off? Okay, so when did the movie end?
Around 11:30. Then we went to our rooms, to bed.
Okay, so Dahlia stops texting with Blake at 11:30. Colleen, couldn't Dahlia just have snuck out without you realizing?
No, no way. I would have heard her on account of her squeaky door.
Okay, the police are going to need more proof than that.
She touches her nose.
How do we prove that Dahlia stayed in her room?
She turns to Colleen.
It couldn't be that easy.
It couldn't?
Moments later, they step out of the apartment.
If she snuck out to Blake's, it would be on camera.
And if she didn't, the tape could clear her.
She grins and gives Nellie's shoulder a squeeze. Later, at Michael's desk in the station.
That's when we got home. 5 o'clock on Wednesday, like Dahlia told you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go.
Footage shows Colleen leaving the apartment.
9:04.
Oh. I forgot. Dahlia wanted hot chocolate.
Ooh, the hot cocoa run. Don't gotta tell me about those, eh, Meg?
Hey,
He fast forwards the CCTV footage. Colleen returns to the apartment at 9:15.
It's not enough time for a murder. Anyway, it is too early. Blake was still playing poker.
But we're headed into time of death.
Yeah.
They see nothing new on screen.
That's it?
Yep.
See, Dahlia didn't go out.
Bubkiss. For the love of the Lord, let that girl out before her mother shows up.
Boss?
Yes?
Larry Foote has something. You'll want to see this.
Is it the PI's photos?
Yeah, this might shake things up, huh?
Let's find out.
You were about to let Dahlia out, remember? She said let her out.
Darling, not yet.
Yeah, could you take Colleen home for us, please?
Yeah. No, I don't want to go without Dahlia.
Honey, sometimes we don't always get what we want.
It's gonna be okay.
Michael and Burgie leave.
It's okay.
Colleen shoulders her back and heads out. Now in Dahlia's kitchen.
Thanks for everything, Nellie.
Something just doesn't add up.
I don't get it. What's bothering you?
Time of death is between 10 p.m. and midnight. You and Dahlia watching a movie. She's angry. She's texting Blake. The movie ends 11:30. She stops rage texting Blake. You both go to bed. The police think that's when she goes to Blake's and pushes him down the stairs. The walk is 10 minutes away.
The police are wrong. Why haven't they released her yet?
Show me.
Show you what? None of this matters.
Yeah, you get to be Dahlia. I'm going to retrace steps. Show me her bedroom. Yes?
Colleen opens the door to Dahlia's room and Nellie walks by. Colleen halts in her tracks as Nellie makes her way up to a window. Nellie moves the curtain aside and looks out. She slides open the window. She regards the two-story drop.
There's no way she could have climbed out of here.
She turns around.
Is there another way she could have snuck out?
Colleen shakes her head.
Well, I guess that's the alibi.
Next, her phone rings as she descends the stairs in the apartment complex.
Michael?
Nellie?
No, it's me. They're giving me one phone call since last night.
Dahlia, I'm so sorry.
I promised I would fix things, and it's just such a mess. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I should have told you about those text messages. It's just, we thought Blake was cheating, and I was acting like a jealous girlfriend, giving him the gears. I couldn't show the detective.
I'm ashamed. I couldn't show anyone, not even you.
I understand.
Why did the police keep asking me about a letter?
Worried in Babylon, the letter that you sent me for advice. Nellie, I never wrote you a letter. And new Michael keeps insisting that I did. What was it about, and why do you think it came from me? The hearts on the eyes. That's you. Or someone who knows you.
Well, lots of people draw hearts.
Dahlia, I gotta call you back. Wait, no, I can't answer calls.
Nellie rushes up the stairs and enters Dahlia's apartment. She strides past the kitchen counter.
Nellie? Where are you going?
Colleen hurries after Nellie, who enters her bedroom and walks up to the window. Nellie opens the window and looks at the easy climb to the ground. Colleen grabs her keys and bolts. Nellie goes after her. They dash down the stairs.
Wait!
She blocks Colleen's way.
Colleen, stop! Nellie, it's not what you think. Good grief, just...
Colleen hands her the keys as they pant. Now in Dahlia's living room.
Was it the letter? Or stupid P.I. Larry and his photos? I never even saw him. You knew the security camera would show that you two had stayed in the apartment all night. But you climbed down the garden trellis to sneak out back to see Blake. Do you suppose I was Blake's other woman, desperately in love with my stepsister's boyfriend? No. No, I don't suppose you liked him at all. There was no other woman. Blake loved Dahlia. Either you were mad because you genuinely believed that he was cheating on her, or you made up that bogus cheating story yourself.
Colleen nods.
Why? I was 20 when Dahlia's dad and my mom got married, so we didn't get to grow up together. I'd never had a little sister, and she never had anyone to look out for her like I could. So that's what this is about, protecting your sister? Blake was always too busy. He wouldn't even invite her to poker. But the thing is, Blake was never too good to take her money. Dahlia cares about me. She cared about Blake and you, everyone. But I could see that her life wasn't going to be good with him. She just couldn't see it because he wasn't bad enough, you know? You knew that he was going to propose. You were the one who went to Vera's and tried on the engagement ring. He thought I'd be happy for them. How crazy is that? Why fake a letter to me then? I thought you would advise her to dump him if he was unfaithful to her. And I guessed if I sent something personalized, you'd think it came from Dahlia and you'd get right in there and you'd fix it. But I didn't get to Blake in time. No, neither did I. Wait, what? He was dead when you got there? I didn't go there to kill Blake. I went to finally confront him. And when I saw him crumpled like that at the bottom of the stairs...
She shakes her head gravely.
You're gonna have to tell the police all of this.
Colleen nods.
But Nellie, who killed Blake?
Nighttime, at the Babylon Life magazine, Nellie crosses out Colleen's photo in the crime board. She taps the marker on her hand as she regards the board. She steps up to her seat and sits down, then turns on the deck lamp. She opens the top drawer and looks at its contents. She takes the purple plastic ring and closes the drawer. She gazes at the ring.
Don't answer it.
Paige.
Put the phone down.
Nellie stands facing her and answers the phone.
Hi, it's Nellie. Hi, detective.
Paige grabs a knife from nearby.
I don't want to hurt you. Just don't say anything. Don't tell him I'm here.
Nellie stares at Paige, who points the knife at her.
Don't speak to the detective, Nellie. I came here to talk to you.
Nellie, the police let me out. Nellie, are you there?
Yes, detective. I'm just at the office right now.
No! Nellie, I've got big news to tell you. The PI had photos of Paige Woolley at Blake's house. Knew Michael just sped out of here to arrest her.
A distraught Paige glances around and drops the knife, then snatches Nellie's phone and thrusts it down.
I am not trying to hurt you.
Nellie?
I am asking you to listen.
Paige, they have photos of you at Blake's house that night.
Yes, because I was there. I waited until the game ended and I hid so Connor wouldn't see me.
Why?
I thought you might know.
You stole from Rumpelstide.
So you do know.
She sits down.
Nellie, Blake was blackmailing me. I had to meet him after the game with the cash. I'm mortified. Uncle Rumpel trusted me. It just got so complicated. Connor is a banker, but he is also a shopaholic. Our bank accounts are all drained. I was already working full-time.
So you used it as a chance to get out of debt.
I met one of Connor's clients who said he'd cut me in for half the difference if he got the house for $80,000 under market value. And I advised Uncle Rumpel it was a good deal. He has these hang-ups about privacy and strangers. I thought it was low risk. I knew he would never gossip about the sale price.
Well, there was one person he was willing to tell.
Paige nods and drops her gaze.
Except for that's not how Blake found out.
He overheard me talking with the buyer in the yard.
It's just so stupid of me.
So you had to cut him in.
I saw him at Vera's looking at her diamonds. He was so desperate to propose. But all of his money was tied up with Dahlia and her mom and the business. I convinced him to keep his mouth shut for half my share.
But with that cash coming in, why did you have to take a second job? Guilt.
I decided I was going to pay Uncle Rumpel back no matter how long it takes. I have to get Connor out of debt, Nellie, or we'll lose our home. I didn't know what else to do.
Were you hiding in the bushes when I found Blake's body?
I went to tell him that I was coming clean with Uncle Rumpel. I hoped he'd return the cash. We could both do the right thing. But I was too late.
So did you trash Larry Foote's office to destroy the photos of you?
No, of course not. I didn't even know about Foote at all until tonight. I didn't damage any property. I didn't hurt anyone, and I didn't kill Blake.
So who else knew about Larry Foote? Dahlia, Zinnia, Colleen?
I guess any of the poker players who were there that night and saw him when they left?
Connor said that he heard that Blake had been murdered when Jody called Peter at the bank. But Jody didn't tell Peter that Blake was dead, which means...
Paige looks away pensively as Nellie faces the crime board.
Connor knew because he killed Blake.
That's enough, Nellie.
Connor! What are you doing? Put the gun down! Put it down! You don't even know how to-
He grabs her and clamps her mouth.
Say nothing, Nellie, or Paige dies.
Connor? Connor, you don't want to hurt her. You're the one who knew that she was being blackmailed. You were trying to be her hero.
Won't make any difference. She thinks I'm a failure.
Connor, please, give me the gun. You don't want to hurt her. You love your wife.
You're right, Nellie. It would be better if you died.
Paige bites her husband's hand. His gun-wielding hand wavers and he shoves Paige away. Nellie tacks the foliage spray from Fiona's desk and spitzes it on him. She tries to snatch the gun from him and it misfires as they struggle. It falls down and he goes after her.
Hands up!
Connor complies.
Connor Woolley, you are under arrest for the murder of Blake Jarvis. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law.
You good?
Yeah.
All right.
You have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided for you.
Nellie looks on. Next, outdoors, two EMTs chat with Paige as a deputy escorts Connor into the back of a patrol car. Michael walks up to Nellie, who leans against a pillar. She smiles as he hands her a juice box.
Thank you.
You good?
Mm-hmm. You?
Yeah, not bad, considering.
How'd you know? You go first. You came for Paige?
Yeah, I did. But then I realized she couldn't have done it. Because if she had, she would have picked up that cash. Only Connor, Willie, was so bad with cash that he didn't have the good sense to pick up a stack of it sitting right under his nose.
So bad?
Mm-hmm. I saw the financials.
Mm-hmm. Larry Foote's surveillance photos caught Paige sneaking around Blake's.
At 10:15 and then again 10 minutes later. Not enough time to commit a murder. And it was way before Rumpel saw the light turn on, too, so...
Well, that is some solid evidence, Detective.
Yeah.
Objectivity.
Hmm.
Magnifying glass?
He reaches into the inside pocket of his jacket and takes tea out.
It doesn't explain why you came here instead of going to the Woolies' house.
Nope, I guess it doesn't.
So why did you come here?
Because, Nellie, by now I realize that anyone who has a problem in Babbleton comes to see you.
So what next?
Vicky, I need you over here for a minute.
He glances behind him and points in that direction.
A detective's work is never done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He waves her goodbye and leaves. She chuckles and drinks the juice. On a balmy morning, the sun casts a warm glow on Babbleton. Nellie heads out of her house with a bright smile. She waves at the paperboy, who returns the gesture dryly.
Good morning!
She catches the newspaper.
What a beautiful day.
A Beck sits by her boot-clad feet. She crouches and picks up a note lying on it, then stands up as she reads it. Now, at the station, Michael writes at his desk. He takes his phone and opens a message from Nellie. It reads, "Guess what?" He smiles to himself and replies, "What?" He puts the phone aside as Borky approaches.
Time to make it official. Well deserved. Welcome to the force, Detective.
Thank you, Sheriff Brom. Borky.
You'll get it.
I will get it. I will. Thank you.
He sits down with a new nameplate in hand. He puts his feet up on the desk and sets the nameplate down. It reads, "Detective Mickey, Mick, Hogan." Another message from Nellie reads, "Meet me outside." He picks up the phone and grins at it. Now, outside the station, Nellie cradles the tabby cat and beams.
You got the cat.
I sure did. Kittenless and longing in Babbleton turns out to be regretfully allergic in Babbleton.
So Nellie knows doesn't always know everything about everything then, huh?
Well, I do have it on good authority that congratulations are in order. Well done, Detective Michael.
Thank you. You're gonna have to get used to seeing me around town.
Ooh, single and ready to mingle in Babbleton?
Oh, brother. You know, some of us around here have work to do.
He starts walking away and sighs as she catches up.
Come on, Helen's for lunch?
Yeah, it's a Belgian waffle kind of day.
Ooh, international.
Mm-hmm.
Sophisticated. Fancy.
What are you gonna have?
I think I'll have the special. I want to be surprised.
Why doesn't that surprise me?